In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. Having lived here in the Los Angeles area for just about 2 years now, I've come to learn my way around fairly well, but I still find myself using my phone navigation to get around fairly often. Sometimes I need to go somewhere across town I've never been before, or sometimes I'm going somewhere I know how to get there, but I still want to check the traffic so I see which route is best. And we all know about GPS these days, and how many of you know about the app Waze? We know about Waze? Waze is my favorite app to use for getting around, especially Los Angeles. I found it's the most accurate in terms of time of arrival. And it's great because people can share about traffic and road hazards and police sometimes, or accidents. But the thing about using Waze in LA, which I've learned, is that sometimes it takes you through some rough parts of the city. And if you're driving alone, especially at night, you might be weary about where your navigation is taking you. If you're driving through LA, you don't want to take a route through Skid Row at 2 a.m. by yourself, I'm sure. And even in my 2 years here, I've already started learning which areas I don't want to drive through, which places to avoid. And I'm sure many of you, especially those of you who have kids that drive, have told them, don't drive through that neighborhood. Make sure you take the long way around that part of town. And we all know these kinds of places that, due to crime or safety reasons, we avoid going through there. Even though it's an inconvenience and wish something could be done about that to clean up those parts of town. And I would venture to say that if a police commissioner or mayor somehow miraculously turned those places around and made them safe and secure again, that we would applaud that person, right? Well, in today's gospel lesson, we have a similar situation. Christ is entering an area of the Gergesenes, it's called, and there are two demoniacs that met him there. And the gospel says that they are so fierce, so strong, that no one would pass that way. This is a place where people would avoid walking by or through because these demoniacs were so dangerous and violent. And we know the story from here that the demons from within cry out to Christ. Note here that even the demons recognize the Son of God. Even the demons pray to him. They recognize him, and Christ expels them into the herd of pigs nearby. And the pigs rush down the steep bank into the sea and perish in the waters. What I want to focus on is what happens next. The herdsmen fled, and going into the city, they told everything and what had happened about the demoniacs. And behold, all the city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to leave their neighborhood. For us, it seems strange. Jesus just solved a major problem for these people, did he not? He cleaned up the streets. He removed this dangerous obstacle for these people. He opened up that way to pass by safely once again. But they begged him to leave their neighborhood. But perhaps it's not all too strange for us to think about, really. These people surely wanted this problem to be solved, but they were not really prepared to accept the one who solved it. The truth of our faith lies in the paradox of the message of Christ, which is essentially this. If you want to live, you have to die first. If you want to be free, you have to be a slave first. If you want to be rich, become poor. If you want to be a leader, be a servant. And all too often, when we stop wading in the shallow waters of comfortable religiosity and start diving deeper into the heart of the gospel of Christ, we see the truth and we say, you know what? No, thank you. We need to ask ourselves, when has Christ gone too far for us? When have you maybe told yourself that the church and your faith demand too much? When have we said to our Lord, please leave, I've had enough? Perhaps the people in today's gospel account knew who Jesus was, and knowing that he had such power to dispel these powerful demons, they felt unworthy to have him in their presence. Or they were now fearful of God's power as well. They were not prepared to take on the demands of our Lord, which would mean things like obedience, humility, steadfastness, and discipline. The truth is, in today's day and age, we turn our backs away from discipline. Even though we can say that we know discipline is necessary, we will discipline our children, we will encourage others to have more discipline, but all too often, we do our very best to avoid disciplining ourselves or to be on the receiving end of discipline. But when we pray to God that He be with us, guide us, protect us, bless us, which He continues to do through bestowing on the very body and blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, we need to understand that to be a true Christian, to be a true disciple of Christ, requires discipline on our end. It is a struggle and a challenge to be a Christian. And if we shy away from this struggle and these endeavors, then we find ourselves essentially begging Christ to leave us alone. But when we take Him into our homes and we take Him into our hearts, when we embrace the struggle, when we fight the good fight, even though it may be difficult, we also discover the truth that it is God Himself that walks with us, struggles with us, suffers with us, and rejoices with us. Just as right before we receive Holy Communion, we recognize that we are with the fear of God, but also with faith and with love, we draw near to Him. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship, now and forever, and to the ages of ages. Amen.